So the meeting's been called to order, and the agenda I sent out to the people that are members, the agenda goes approve agenda, approve minutes, report from our development director, fundraising stories of what motivates you to give to any charity, discussion of the next pledge drive, discussion of the subcommittee on major donors, discussion of lapsed donors, new business, set the next meeting or confirm the next meeting for August 3rd, and then adjourn. So is there any objection to the agenda that I just read?
No.
Okay. So, Mike Lewis, do you move that we approve the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. And no objection? Pass. Without objection. All right.
Nancy would like to add something to the agenda.
Can it just be added during new business?
Okay.
Okay. So just bring it up at new business. Okay. I sent out the minutes right after our last meeting, and I sent them out again earlier today. Does anyone want to move to approve the minutes?
Yes.
Okay, Mike Lewis moved to approve. Does anybody have any objection to approving the minutes of the last meeting?
Rebuttal, I have not read the minutes.
Well, because we sent them out twice, can you just not object?
If you just give me a chance to read the minutes right quick, then I can go ahead and approve it.
All right, fine. All right. Since Robin is not on the phone right now, I would like to go right to stories of what motivates you to give. And since I just called Bruce Pollard up and said, hey, Bruce, can you give us 15 minutes of your time, I'd like to maybe start with him. Bruce, Bruce, have you ever been a Toastmaster?
I have.
Okay, well, this is what we call in Toastmaster, we call it the topic session where you get to speak extemporaneously. And your topic is what motivates you to give to a charity of your choice or someone else. So, everybody, this is Bruce Pollard. He is a KPFT donor. And go ahead, Bruce. Let us know what you think of this topic.
Oh, well, I think it's a good topic. I think it's important. So there are different ways to look at giving. And I think after a certain amount of experimentation, I've come to the conclusion that I like to give money where the rubber meets the road and not so much to the hierarchy of what's running things. So there's a food pantry nearby, and I give money directly to that, to the food pantry. I don't give it to, for example, a church that would then give the money to the food pantry.
Repeat that sentence, please.
I give money directly to the food pantry in a way that I know that it's going to get used for food. Or, better yet, I just give them the food so it gets put out. I have a little bit better relationship with them, so I know that the money that I give them that says for food actually goes into their food budget. So that's kind of my focus. And I mean, even in political things, for example, when the elections come around, I will try to give money directly to candidates, not to the big overall umbrella action committee. That's really the base thing. Why do I give? I give because I think it's important to share a person's good fortune. And not everybody's been as fortunate as I have. So I just try and give something back to the area that I'm, and how do I choose amongst the things? I choose amongst things partly based on KPFT. I get so much back from that.
When's the first time you gave to KPFT? Do you remember that?
So I've been in Texas 20 years, and I think I gave to KPFT 18 years ago.
And you knew right away that was something. Can you remember what it was about the pitch or about the that you related to?
So wherever I go to live, which was Milwaukee and then Philadelphia, they all have member listener stations that have local music on them. And I was a member in Philadelphia of the Philadelphia Folk Song Society. And so I'm a singer-songwriter, sort of.
I didn't know that. So, hey.
Yeah, it's a secret. So I contributed that particular area. And then I actually have become more active as the years go on. And I made a – Egberto Willis was my next-door neighbor for 18 of the 20 years here. And I routinely support Egberto Willis' show. Partly that's because of my relationship with him. So that's the direct relationship with the programmer I think has increased the amount of money that I give. The other thing is that you all make it easy to give. I don't really give to get anything back, except sometimes a tax deduction. But
what is the easiest way for you to give?
So the easiest way for me to give is I wait for every one of your pledge drives, and I give it each pledge drive. Typically, it comes out to that I'm the end of at the end of everything, I've probably given a dollar or two a day, but it's all split up amongst your pledge drives.
So you
and
split it up.
Sometimes I give old cars too. So.
And you give old cars, okay?
Yeah, I mean the car thing. You probably made the most money off of me. You probably got the most money off of me by the fact that rather than trying to trade a car in, I just have you all come and take it away. And I drive cars pretty much into the ground anyway, so they're not worth a whole lot. But they've come out to be – you all have a great method for recovering value on cars, which is better than I could get by trading it in. So I use that method. That's all. Any questions?
Does anybody else have any questions?
I just want to say thank you. Thank you for thinking of all of KPFT and all of that. You know, that's great.
Rourke and Maverick are important to me. I mean, Rourke is of exactly my time period. So when he plays the music that he does, he plays music that the little known songs are ones that I have the albums for. So. And Maverick is actually opening me up to the new music, and I listen. Actually, I listen to Amy every morning. She's my wake up call.
Yeah.
So and have you always? Do you give by credit card?
Yes. Yeah, I guess I would give another way that I've been treasurer of of a couple church places and stuff, and it always pains me when people use a credit card because somebody else is getting 2% of whatever everybody's given or more. And if there was a way, short of, you know, bringing the cash down to y'all, I would use that method.
Well, you know, you can.
Have you ever could be a sustainer
ahead,
and we could take it? Well, there's just one of my issues is trying to get more people to become sustainers, and, you know, where you give every month, and that they have an easy way to do that where it doesn't go through your credit card. They just draft your bank account until you tell them to stop. So I would, you know.
Yeah, I've thought about switching that over. It's just in the back of my mind I have idea that it's important to, when come pledge drive time, that that Egberto's line item shows up as a reasonable number.
Yeah.
So you want him to know that somebody's calling in and giving.
Well,
right
he
now.
Knows. He knows. I want the station manager to know that his show is competitive. Or whoever makes the decisions. I think the station manager makes the decisions.
And that's because you like his show, right? Not just because he was your next-door neighbor.
Well, I think
for whatever reason, it doesn't really matter. But
well, you've obviously had a lot of meaningful discussions with him, and his show is just an extension of those discussions over the back fence.
I'm in the same space, not quite as to the left as he is. I'm a centrist, but there are things, for example, Medicare for All, and a model which would spend money and get everybody more healthy is important to me, and that's really his number one thing. And also, by the way, I edited his most recent book, but that's an aside.
Oh, good. Thank you for that, Bruce. Love the editors. So is there anyone else that would, Bruce, so you're welcome to stay, or you're welcome to get off the call if you like. I'm going to take a couple more people before we proceed with the, you know, with this, with the agenda. But I would like to hear from some other people about maybe a charity that's near and dear to you, whether it's KPFT or some other charity, and what specifically motivated you to give. Does anybody want to say anything?
I'm happy to. This is Rob Lee.
Hi, Rob Lee. Go for it.
What I heard from Bruce is, you know, he likes to give back. He didn't say it, but I also heard the word relationship, meaning, you know, he was able to relate with the DJ and you know, that relationship where you have this bond. You know, I think those are two things that are key, that we have to have kind of people to have this kind of feeling of, I hate to say it, love or appreciation for the group. For whatever reason, out of all the organizations that are out there, KPFT has attracted a certain amount or type of individuals that are out there. So we need to try to figure out how we best, and I hate to use the word, but I am a capitalist, and I'll say capitalize on you know, these type of relationships and feelings that are hard to define, that open up pocketbooks. And if you want me to continue, I have a couple of more observations.
I would love to hear more, and you are also a financial advisor professionally, right?
I am. I am, and I have a master's degree in economics, and I'm a certified financial planner, and have worked with some of the biggest investment banks in the United States. But today I'm here just saying, you know, I've done a lot of volunteer work with various nonprofits, and I have, you know, tried to help them on membership. That's been what I've tried to do. Or alumni development is another one. I've worked with two of my universities. But I go back to that word relationship. And with universities, they're trying to cultivate where that people, you know, say, hey, you know, you got me to go to the level to go to the next step and get a job, or those 4 years that I spent, you know, on campus were something that I met people, I grew, I became a man or a woman. You know, there's just something that got me to the next level. And again, what I think we need to do with KPFT is figure out what the strongest touch points are. And from my perspective, it's music. But and I think that music brings more money than the other shows. You know, how can we build those relationships? The next kind of level is, once we have those relationships, how can we give additional benefits to these people so they feel that relationship even more, that love even more, and maybe we'll open up their pocketbooks even deeper. So that's my two cents, except for the advantages that I see that KPFT has is 50 years of history in the United States, a pretty diverse audience of people, you know, thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of listeners and experience, you know, going back even to, you know, I look at that movie about Anderson Fair and, you know, all those artists that went through there. You know, KPFT wasn't, I don't think, mentioned in that movie, but, you know, intricately involved. And so, you know, the history and the music and just the ability to speak and touch with people on the local basis is something we somehow have to exploit more. That's my opinion. And I will stop.
Nancy Olmstead.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Yeah, I'd like to ask a question to Bruce Pollard before, if he's still here. Are you here, Bruce? Did Bruce leave? Well, he may have left.
I'm here. I just get off mute.
Okay. Do you write lyrics for your songs?
I do.
You know, what I would like to see is we could have better carts for asking for vehicle donations and not having to buy them, but having maybe more artistic, more comical or some theater in it. And I thought maybe you might want to make a script for a cart, like 50 seconds worth, and then it'd be bumped in with music at the end and the beginning. That's a one-minute cart. And I don't know if it can be done in a 30-second cart. The new manager reached out to the Houston HREG. I forgot what they stand for, but they have all kind of alternative energy, like electric cars or solar panels. And they did a 30-second cart. And wow, the man was like typing really fast. Like, that's how it sounded, like a machine gun bullets, like really fast. And I don't remember what he said exactly. So I don't think 30-second carts, you can put a whole lot into it. But anyway, I just thought I'd like to put that in your mind and see if you can come up with something that, only if you want to, but since you have artistic background, I think you could make a very good one. And
I'd like to jump in here. I want to bring it back to the stories of what motivates you to give. And I'll give you this bit of information. KUNM in Albuquerque, New Mexico, raised $125,000 from vehicle donations 1 year. And they did it by changing the carts for vehicle donations. They made them very catchy and very upbeat. They also interviewed people and heard some of the stories about the cars that people had donated. None of the carts were played more than 2 or 3 weeks. So, and I don't know how, they might have, and you know, they were played, they may have been played every hour or two, but they were fun, and they had the theme song to Harry Potter, and then they kind of connected Harry Potter to donating your car. And things like that. So that does kind of, I think it, the upbeat, kind of quirky approach to relating to some powerful music and kind of donating your vehicle, I think that kind of caught people's attention and made them think twice and then donate their car. So I think you're right, Nancy, and even if it's not with Bruce, even if Bruce doesn't make that his project, we should follow up on it. Shall we take maybe two more people that want to... But I want to specifically talk about what motivates you to give. And we,
okay,
and if it doesn't have to do that,
yeah,
we can take it later in the agenda.
I think we should open up, have a cart to invite the members or the listeners to make a cart script for vehicle donations. Then they'll feel more like they have a closer relationship if they hear their script, even if they're not speaking it on the air. And so I was not just thinking of just asking Bruce, but I mean, since he's a musician, that would be great. And about what Rob Lee said about having a closer relationship, we really, once we get this new place, we'll be able to do call-ins. And if we have more, expand our call-ins where you're able to talk directly with the programmer, that really thickens the relationship. I mean, people will remember that they had a conversation with so-and-so on their show on KPFT, you know, with their voice. I think that will that will increase and thicken the relationship. Okay, I'm finished.
Okay.
Thank you.
Does anybody else have a story or an observation about what motivated you to give to a charity?
Point of order.
Who said point of order?
Tom Harper.
Hi, Tom. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, I approve the minutes. That's number one. Number two, I think you should go around the entire committee and ask them. I mean, everybody,
okay.
not just people.
Okay.
Know.
So let me take control again. Is there any objection to approving the minutes? Okay, hearing none, the minutes are approved. So going back to stories, Bill, do you want to say anything? Bill on? Bill, I'm not hearing you. Bill said he might have to leave, so maybe Bill's gone. Tom, do you want to say anything?
Yes, my inspiration was for KPFT. When I first came aboard KPFT, and Mike Lewis also helped me get with KPFT, and my inspiration is hearing the type of music that KPFT was playing when Mr. Bradley was the manager, and also my inspiration to give to KPFT was the, you know, community programming and community, you know, service that KPFT does. So that is my inspiration. Okay.
So somebody said something about what KPFT does that pulled at your heartstrings?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Do you remember what it was specifically that was so powerful to you that you wanted to pull out your wallet?
The inspiration was teamwork. I mean, everybody, you know, trying to pull together in the community. That's my inspiration, is teamwork, okay?
Teamwork, okay. That makes sense. All right. Because, you know, when you feel that people are going to take care of your donation and use it wisely, that always is motivating. Okay,
yes,
Mike
exactly.
Lewis, did you want to say anything?
Yeah, what motivated me to KPFT is the prison show, the military show.
What about the prison show?
Well, we're one of the only stations that reaches out to, I hate to use the word, of like the bottom of society people that you know, a lot of people just want to throw away. And these, they have loved ones and relatives, and this is the only way a lot of them can communicate is through the prison show by listening and doing shout outs, because they probably don't have the financial capability to drive and visit all the time of the prisons that are, you know, out of their reach, miles away. And especially during COVID, a lot of them couldn't visit, and that was the only way besides snail mail and the shout outs that they could communicate with their loved ones.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of like what Bruce said, I think. Bruce Pollard said something about, at this point in his life, he wants to give, what did you say, Bruce? Something like, I guess it sounded like you're like more selective. And I think what Mike is saying is that there's no one else that's going to do this, provide this service. And so it's like they're relying upon us.
Yeah, and a lot of the people from the prison families do donate to KPFT, and I've been encouraging that. I like the music that's on KPFT that's not played on any commercial broadcast, because I've worked in commercial broadcast radio before, and I got out of it because they'd hand you a list and said, this is what you play, this is what you speak, and if you venture off this list, we're going to fire you. You just can't be creative, and KPFT is one of the only places that you can be creative on the radio and not have that corporate tentacles telling you what to do and what to say.
Okay. Okay. Wendy, how about you?
I try to give my limited donations to places where it's going to make a difference. You know, I would never give to a giant that's not going to care about me anyway. The first time I ever gave to Katie, it was kind of funny. We had just moved to Houston. Of course, I never can understand how people don't say that they've never heard of any of our stations, because when I go to a new city, and I know you do this, Teresa, I've been with you in cabs and stuff, you get there to a new place and you immediately turn to the far left of the dial to see what kind of public or community radio stations they have, and you start talking to people. Teresa could sell KPFT to anybody, anywhere, or whatever station is in their city. She starts in on the cab drivers even. The first time I gave to KPFT was we were living with my mother-in-law, who drove this white Cadillac, you know, the old lady kind of Cadillac, and we were listening to a pledge drive. It was a call-in show, which they used to have a lot of call-in shows on KPFT, and we got to give, you know, and we didn't have enough money for a basic membership, but we had like $13, and I'm like, well, let's bring them these Rice Krispie treats too, you know, and so we brought them Rice Krispie treats at $13, and we went to the station. And we were, like, freaking out because we're driving this Cadillac, which was kind of an expensive car at the time. And here, you know, we parked it around the corner so nobody would see it. But we didn't have any money at all. We were totally poor. But it was just funny that I found the need to think that people were going to say, oh, what are you doing only giving us that much money if you're driving a car like that, you know? Anyway, I don't know why I'm telling you guys that story, but we that was how we ended up getting involved too. My husband and I, just coming down there and seeing the busy bees of a pledge drive going. So I hope, you know, when we get our new building, that we'll be able to have the community back in the station again for pledge drives, because I think that was super important. You know, doing a more mechanical pledge drive with pre-recorded stuff and everything, it's not the same. I mean, when we would be talking to those people on the phone through the radio, you know, and getting them to call and acknowledging them right then that so-and-so just gave, and people liked that. And it was fun. It was more of a group project. That's all. I hope we get back to some part of group projects together.
Okay. Is there anyone else on the phone whose name I have not called?
I've been here for a little while. It's Robin.
Oh, hi, Robin. How are you?
All right.
All right, so we've approved the agenda.
Kurt's here, too.
Hi, Kurt. Do either of you, if you've been on the phone, maybe you know, we're talking about a story of what motivates you to give to any charity or someone else. Do either of you want to say anything?
I could say a little bit.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll just give you my own personal experience. When I first came to Houston, I came here broke and looking for a job, and I kind of heard KPFT by accident. And, you know, at the time I had no money to give, but I love the station, I love the music, and the political viewpoint, because it was unique. Everyone else was so far to the right. KPFT actually had some somewhat left-leaning to it. And so I love the station, and I'm embarrassed to say how many years I listened to it and enjoyed it and didn't think about giving any money to it until one day I got I can't remember who it was. It may have been Dwayne Bradley. It may have been Rick Iscariot, or I don't know. But somebody conveyed to me that, you know, it's up to you, Kurt. The station's not going to survive if the listeners don't kick in here. And then it was like a light bulb going on over my head. I think you got to like what you hear. And second, you have to get kicked a little bit with a sense of urgency. You know, get off your butt and help out. And I think, you know, Rick Iscariot was a master at delivering that message, as was Dwayne and a few other people who are no longer programmers, but I better not forget Susan Darrow. She also gets the message across. So that's pretty much what motivates me is a perceived need to do something for a valuable thing, or else you're going to lose it.
Perceived need for a valuable thing or service. I'm going to put thing in parentheses, or else you're going to lose it.
Exactly.
Has any other charity reached you like that?
Oh, yes. Animal Rescue. Yeah.
A perceived need for a valuable service or thing, or else you're going to lose it. All right, thank you. You know, the first charity other than church that I really remember, I read, I like cats, and I read The Cat Who Came for Christmas. And it was a guy that lived in New York, and he found this dirty cat, and he invited it in, and once it was cleaned, and he was mesmerized by it, of course. Here's this dirty cat, brings it in, and, of course, it makes itself at home and starts bathing itself. And pretty soon it's all fluffy and pretty, and he's just amazed at the transition. And he starts the Fund for Animals, which is kind of radical. And that, I was so impressed by that, where I saw that perceived need for a valuable thing, and I started giving to the Fund for Animals, which is, you know, pretty far from the ASPCA, you know. But I mean, at the time, it was compelling. Robin, do you want to say anything before we go to your report?
The charities I give money to are the ones that I think will use it to make other people's lives better. Like, one that I give to is Heifer International.
Uh-huh.
And also Doctors Without Borders. There's a couple of others, but I guess I give the most to those two.
Uh-huh.
As far as KPFT goes, when I've given money, actual cash, to KPFT, it's because I heard something that I just thought was excellent. Excellent means just well done, taught me something I didn't know, made me feel good in some way that nothing else that day had, you know, something like that. I cannot say it happened very often, but when it did, I would, you know, make a donation, make a pledge.
And are you talking about somebody that said something while they were pitching or just the programming in general?
No, not the pitching, the programming in general. You know, there was a show that, what's his name, who had New Capital on one day that I thought, yeah, Leo Gold, and I thought it was so well done in every way, the sound, the subject, the everything, that that's when I pulled out my credit card. And
yay! Hallelujah!
You know, so yeah, when it comes to something like radio, something that I consider more of an entertainment medium than anything else, yeah, I need to be well entertained to give money.
Entertained or inspired?
Yeah, yeah.
Question mark. Okay, that was my word. Sorry. Okay, so again, Bruce, you don't have to stay. Don't want you to feel that I'm forcing you to get on this committee. But thank you very much for these ideas, because I think that we can use these. I know one time my church tried to raise money by doing bingo. And, you know, we bought all the equipment, and we had bingo in the Woodlands, I guess for over a year. But I must say, I never quite related to it. And I thought, I just don't know whether it was a good use of my time. And I think that your message is what you've given here, if I can encapsulate what we said here, is that something that you heard, something that this charity was doing, was unique and just really spoke to you, kind of improved your life, and you wanted to get in on it. So anyway, thank you for that. And now it's time for Robin to kind of give an update as to where we are when it comes to development and fundraising. Say anything specifically?
No. Well, probably everybody on this call knows that the last drive, which was first planned to be a little less than a month long, ended up being 6 weeks long, and just scraped under $100,000 over 6 weeks. That is not good at all. One of our problems, I think, was making a big change in the schedule at the beginning of the last 2 weeks of the drive. That didn't help, in my opinion. And also, for all this time, ever since, March of last year, we've not had any, you know, live programming at all, except what comes from Democracy Now, if you think about it.
Execution. And
so months and months of that has, I think, I mean, I really would like to see the numbers. They're not ever offered as to what our listenership has been, especially over the course of the last year, year and a half. It would be really instructive. But my thought is that it really has gone down.
I thought we did have that at our disposal.
Well, you may. I do not.
Have you asked the general manager for that?
Sure, I have several times.
And he said it's not available, or he just didn't give it to you?
No, he just
tells me a story about what he's seen. You know, and that is not informative to
okay,
me.
Okay.
But anyway.
So you like want the Nielsens. You want to know how many people are listening when.
Well, that I think would be useful to everybody who's trying to figure out what to put on the air. You know, I'm actually not one of those people who decides what to put on the air, but it might give an idea of why, you know, donations are the way they are.
It's essential that the radio station have access to that, actually, but it costs a lot of money.
I thought we had access to that.
Yeah,
I thought we
understand that the
level we negotiated that.
No,
I understand that the national network is getting those numbers, but so it's not helping everybody else. You know, not
okay.
you know, I don't know what they're using them for.
Thomas.
So anyway.
Thomas.
We're kind of running on just a low level of momentum right now. I'm still sending out the, requests for people to renew and people who are not paying their donations, I try to nudge them to do that every month. I did not get out that last mailing that I talked to you about maybe a month or two ago. Just because I just didn't have time to do it, and also just kind of not the will.
What was the purpose of that specific mailing?
To encourage people who've lapsed to become members again.
Okay, to reach lapsed.
Yeah, well, that's one way to do it. It probably would be still worthwhile, but I just have to do it.
Promise,
I don't have anything, a whole lot more to say. And I think that's it right now.
Bruce is back.
Bruce Grief. Hi, Bruce.
Hey. Can I ask Robin, are you using Allegiance or you got a different system? Or what are you doing?
We're using Allegiance.
And do you get the reports from them on which shows they're contributing to, or you don't know?
Yes, I do. Yeah. It's fairly easy to figure that out using Allegiance, yes.
Okay.
Tom for the stack.
All right, go ahead, Tom.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Robin, what was the last total that you had for the fund drive?
For the fund drive itself, $98,000 and change.
Okay, thank you, Robin.
And Robin, while we're giving that information, how would that compare with 1 year ago, 3 years ago, and 5 years ago?
Compared to one year ago, that was kind of, how shall I say? We were in the same boat. We were doing slightly better because a year ago was July of 2020, and I think people were thinking at the time that, you know, things were looking up. So we did slightly better in May of 2020 than we did in May of 2021.
But how about 5 years ago?
Oh, much worse.
By a factor
years ago,
of?
It would be about 2016. So you have to take into account the amount of time that we did a drive, too. Back in 2016, a May drive, the goal would be something like $275,000. We would not get there, but we would get to about 75% of that. Somebody tell me what that is. But
no,
that would be
the goal would be $225,000.
About 250.
250.
Yeah, and we reach about 70, 75% of that goal.
Okay, so
I hear that we're not doing well, but it kind of sounds like we're at a time where we need a come to Jesus meeting.
So
75%
of 200. I'm sorry, 75% of 250,000 is 187,000.
Yeah, something like that is what that that drive brought in, but that was also over the course of 3 weeks and not six.
That's different.
Yeah.
And the long term trends, you know, we're down by 50%. Pretty much would be a general statement from what would be average going back 5 to 10 years now.
Yeah, it's more comparable to 5 years here. 10 years is even a more depressing amount.
Okay. And then when we take inflation into account with that, you know, it makes us even more depressed, because if you're not increasing your revenues with the rate of inflation, you're actually losing. But we're not only losing by 50% or whatever the number is, but we're not even keeping up with inflation.
Yes.
Well, you have to take into consideration some of the factors that have entered into this trend. These trends are, number one, perhaps more people have gone to KUHF. Some people are podcasting rather than listening to the radio.
Internet music.
And because of COVID, people's money was tighter or going to other charities like food banks rather than the radio station.
Playing reruns for a year.
No live interaction with our audience.
That's a big, very big problem.
And I would agree with that, because what we heard was, you know, these listeners are somehow being able to relate and feel this, you know, kinship or whatever the word is with the organization, and that in turn helps them open up their wallets. I mean, we need to have this ability to speak and motivate the audience and create an allegiance.
Bruce, the fact.
Go ahead, Tom.
That was Bruce.
That was Bruce.
That was Bruce that wanted to speak. Go ahead, Bruce. Which Bruce?
Yeah. Excuse me. I don't want anybody to get defensive, or at least more Robin or anybody. But what I would suggest is you do a focus group, and I'd be willing to help. And you call 100 people who are not renewing or who have left, and in a very non-pushy way, I mean, you basically ask them, you know, why'd you stop listening? What didn't you like? And once you get over the initial hump, you know, people start talking to you. Because right now we're just guessing, and, you know, if it makes you feel any better, WBAI does the same thing. You know, they're just guessing. They don't actually go out to the mall and talk to shoppers and find out why they're not buying my line of clothes. And if you do a sample of like 100 listeners, you know, you probably get some indications of what, you know, what it is that people are not finding or what they don't like. The other thing that I would suggest, in the same way that if you move in, you get these welcome packets. You know, maybe KBFT could do a welcome packet, especially for the younger people moving in, and say, hey, did you know we got a great radio station in Houston, and here's some cool restaurants and places to go, and yada, yada, yada. That's it, I'm done.
Bruce, what did you call, did you call it a survey? What did you call it, a focus group?
Focus group, yeah, it's a focus group. I mean, in a commercial retail environment, you know, if they see that one of their stores in one particular mall is not doing as well as the other stores,
mm-hmm.
you know, they'll actually go and call previous customers and ask them, you know, you stopped coming in. You used to come in like once a month or once every other month, and, you know, you're not coming now. And I remember, because my wife sells handbags and other things, and she had a famous line of handbags, Sonia Roberts. And Sandra Roberts, I mean, they're like well-known. And one year, their product line was just horrible. I don't know what happened to the designer. They got different designer. They had one year, and their sales tanked, and they went out and asked, you know, the customers, you know, how come you're not buying the bags? And the lady said, because they suck. You know, so you really kind of need, you can't guess. You know, I mean, everybody will have a theory. But, and it's really not that hard, and it's not personal, and you don't have to, you know, get defensive about it. It's kind of like you need to find out what it is you're doing wrong, and until you really ask the people who are voting with their feet, you know, you're not going to know. So
okay.
That's about it. Yeah. I'm done.
Thank you, Bruce. So, I would be happy to work with you on that. I was talking with Robin yesterday. The thing is, the way she figures that it would have to be done is it would have to, if we called lapsed donors, I don't know how we could do a focus group, but I tell you what, Robin, let's talk about doing some sort of focus group. I can tell you from personal experience that I have personally, as I have met people at various events over the last 20 years, I have put their information into my computer and I put it into my phone. And even though I lost my phone, when I lost my phone, there were probably 200 people in there that I had met. And as I have called them up, people are telling me, either because of, you know, for a variety of reasons, they are depressed and discouraged and are giving elsewhere. But I think it's really important that we ask them, and that if anything can be salvaged of the relationship, we should reach out to them.
It's not even necessarily a case of trying to fix that relationship. It's like you don't make the same mistake again. And I'll speak for WBAI. You know, we call people and they go, well, I sent you $100 and I never got my premium. And, you know, I forgave you that time, and then I sent you another $50 and I didn't get that premium. And they said, that's it. You know, and we hear that story often enough to know that, like, not sending premiums is a no-no. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. And it's not even necessarily that you're doing anything wrong. It's like, you know, people go, well, I listen to Spotify, I can't get you on Play Alexa or whatever. So, but then at least you know. If you don't, you're just throwing darts at the dartboard in a dark room. You know, it's like you're not even throwing them at the right wall. I mean,
sometimes,
you know,
they say, I thought I was still giving. You're supposed to be taking money out, but it stopped, you know, and they didn't notice.
That happens,
things
too.
Like that,
I mean,
too.
That's one of the benefits about Allegiance is that, you know, people will change their debit card, change their credit card, and all of a sudden the payments are bouncing, and Allegiance, I think, will show you that. But that happens a lot. And at BAI, that was a big problem. You know, people stopped donating, but it wasn't because they stopped donating, it's because they got a different debit card. So now the you know, the request for the money was bouncing. But, I mean, I really do think this is kind of a little bit off topic, but not really. I really do think you guys have an opportunity with all the music talent and comedy talent and the rest of it in Houston. If you do something different, not the same music as everybody else, because there's 66 internet stations in Houston and 144 radio stations. So if you try and compete on the same, playing the same kind of football, it's going to be a real slog. But if you go and do something different, like if you are the country music station or Americana music station for young people who can't get on the air anywhere else, you're going to be a hit because nobody else is doing that. You know, you got to do stuff that's a little bit out of the box, and you got to play music that I can't hear anywhere else. And then you'll get the young people to come because they're all looking for, you know, they're all looking for music that's not controlled by the big labels, and it isn't Clear Channel music, and it's not NPR music because they all run with a fairly restricted stable of musicians. And the other thing that I would pitch is how much you spending on cable? How much you spending on Spotify? How much you spending on the other one? What the hell is the name of it? You know, and you said, you know, $5 a month for a radio station? That's nothing. It's not even a coffee at Starbucks. That's it. I'm done.
Thank you, Bruce. Unique interviews that you could not hear anywhere else. I tell you, the alternative radio shows made a very big difference in my life about 20-some years ago. And I was listening to it on the station, and when they took alternative radio off, I gave $365 I went in with several people, and we said, okay, we're going to get the alternative radio interviews. One person's going to listen to them and then give it to the next person. So about five or six people listened to alternative radio that way. And I was willing to pay because, yes, you're right, Bruce. I couldn't get that anywhere else. I heard it on KPFT, and then when they took it off, I just had to have it. So we talked about fundraising. Some of these ideas. Was there anything else we need to ask of Robin before we move on?
Yes, Nancy.
Go ahead.
What's the membership? New membership. How much did we grow during the?
What is our membership right now?
What, 3,100?
Right now, today?
Yeah.
Right now, today, it's at 2,900.
Okay.
Would you hold on a second, please?
Mm-hmm.
What did you say? The last thing you said?
She said 2,900, and can you hold on, please?
Oh, can you hold on for a second?
Bruce, when you said that there's 66 internet stations in Houston and 144 radio stations, were you just
right.
making that up?
No. I mean, that's the number. It's nuts. Yeah.
There are 66 internet stations and 144 radio stations in the Houston area?
Yeah, and they're just 66 that are just streaming. I mean, it doesn't mean they're any good, but... You know, I mean, you've got some big money stations playing country and Americana music and a lot of Christian. So, you know, you're not going to be able to compete with that.
The Christian station is like the most listened to station, I think. It's crazy.
Yeah.
They have a hip-hop station and a country station. You know, they have three or four stations on that one KSK.
I mean,
but where do you find that information about how many stations are in Houston?
Teresa Allen's radio directory for Texas? No.
Oh. And do you know about the Radio Garden website?
It's like a Google Earth kind of thing. It's the most amazing thing you ever saw. Radio.garden, I think, is what the website is. And it has a picture of the Earth, you know, and you can go hear what's on right now at any station on the planet by just clicking on that area of the globe.
Yeah, that's really cool.
You can listen to that station. It's way cool.
Nigerian radio, and you can't understand a single word they say. Before I forget, here's an idea for you. You've got a $25 membership. What if you were to give high schoolers a $15 membership and maybe, you know, some sort of ease them into membership kind of special or two, if you sign up, we'll give your friend, young, under, you know, high school friend a free membership, just to get them introduced to the station, some kind of teaser offer, like eggs for 99 cents kind of thing. And I really think if you target, you can get these move-in lists, you know, where people just bought a house or they just rented because the real estate agents, you know, if you move, you get the packets. You know, mm-hmm. You can get a hold of those lists and then just send the people an invite to KPFT or something.
What is that called when you get a welcome to the neighborhood?
The welcome wagon.
Welcome wagon. Do they still have a welcome wagon?
No idea.
They do on Long Island, they do. They still do it.
I have researched welcome wagon packets, and they'll have them by the city. They'll have them targeted by zip code. You can get it targeted by income levels. It's pretty sophisticated, but it's also expensive. And then they'll try to guarantee you some sort of exclusive for whatever your profession is. I don't know if they'd have any freebie for a nonprofit. But a few years ago, and I haven't looked into this for 5 years, they were very sophisticated and they were expensive.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I would have.
All right, so every.